Welcome to the CRE Exchange Podcast, where we deep dive into the global trends and challenges of CRE professionals across all sectors of the commercial real estate industry. We engage with experts in the space to bring you innovative insights into industry practices, opportunities, and challenges to better inform your decisions. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate.
Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of CRE Exchange. I'm Cole Perry, your host and Associate Director of Research here at Altus Group, a leading provider of asset and fund intelligence. I'm joined by Omar El-Tarai, our U.S. Director of Research. Together, we'll share the latest news and trends in the U.S. commercial real estate market. Omar, it's great to be with you. What are we going to talk about today?
So today, we have a special episode for you. We'll be covering the Investment and Transactions Quarterly Report. This is compiled by the Altus Group's U.S. research team and provides a comprehensive overview of U.S. commercial real estate investment sales, looking at more than 4.1 million CRE property transactions going back to the year 2000. The intended purpose of the report really is to identify high-level investment and transaction trends and add context to the overall U.S. CRE market. The data compiled in this report reflects non-distressed commercial property sale transactions across the major property sectors, including multifamily, industrial, office, retail, hospitality, and commercial general and mixed use. And the report covers transaction volume, pricing, pacing at the national level, with additional insights at the Metropolitan Statistical, or MSA, or commonly referred to as market level. And really what we're hoping to highlight here is because we have closed out 2024 and we're well into 2025, we'll highlight some of the key kind of takeaways that we got from going through the data and describing 2024. But this is the second version of the report. We did make a few changes since the first. So Cole, do you mind highlighting a few of the changes that readers would be able to see in this report?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, second iteration of the report. So we did update our approach a little bit. We've tweaked some of the property level criteria to be more inclusive of transactions that we saw take place. So as a result, the data for single property transactions did get larger. So you may notice some changes from the Q3 2024 report. And we also now include multi-property sale transactions. So really excited to see those in there. Another new component or an altered component is the MSA level pricing details or the market level pricing details. The third section of the report contains full year comparisons of median price per square foot across the four major asset types, across the 10 largest markets, or at least by population in the U.S. So a lot of good takeaways there. But Omar, do you want to jump right in with some of the headline volume figures?
Absolutely. Looking back on 2024, the U.S. CRE market began to show early signs of a measured recovery. Despite remaining relatively muted compared to typical levels seen over the last decade, investment activity and pricing for U.S. CRE appear to be finding footing heading into 2025. We explore some of these trends in the report, but first, let's look at transaction activity and the total dollar volume transacted. So when we're looking at these dollar figures, we saw some encouraging signs from the final quarter of 2024, as well as the full year period. So across all sectors, total transaction volume reached $108.5 billion in Q4, representing a significant 33.6% increase from Q3 levels, and a positive 5.8% rise compared to the same quarter last year. For the full year, 2024's total deal volume of $369.8 billion was down just 3.8% compared to 2023. This marks the highest level of total dollar volume and the smallest annual decline since the end of 2022. Looking at the full year 2024 data and on a year-on-year basis, industrial and commercial general saw the largest and only positive gains in terms of total dollar volume of transactions across the CRE sectors, with industrial seeing more than $75 billion and commercial general seeing $28 billion transact during the year. These represent an increase of 3.2% and 5.8% respectively over 2023's volumes. While office, multifamily, and retail transaction volumes were down on the year between 6 and 8%, even these sectors showed decreasing rates of declines through the year, which is a positive. Next, if we look at transaction activity in terms of the number of properties traded, we see a similar trend of emergent recovery underway. In the final quarter of 2024, the 38,200 properties that traded, this was up by 5.3% from the third quarter. While the Q4 volume or count of properties traded was down 5.7% compared to the same quarter a year ago, and the full year total count of transacted properties was down 7.4% versus 2023's levels, the annual pace of declines continued to moderate. If the current recovery and activity continues to pace similarly to how it was unfolding through 2024, we could probably expect to see the annual change in properties traded turn positive later this year. That's using a pretty simplified analysis of just following the trend, but I think is overall a positive and feeds into this narrative of US CRE is in recovery mode. Still, if we focus on the number of properties traded in 2024, hospitality and multifamily had the smallest year-on-year declines, each with less than 3% declines compared to 2023, followed by commercial general and industrial, which had slightly larger declines of 4 to 6% fewer properties being traded in 2024 versus 2023. And while the fourth quarter is a big one for all sectors and transaction data in general, when looking at the Q4 data versus the Q3 data, we saw the biggest jumps in retail, industrial, and commercial general, which all saw their quarterly activity jump more than the national average for the quarter-on-quarter change. So they all increased in terms of activity by more than 5.3%. Now, one of my favorite things about this report is really what we refer to as pacing. This really shows transaction activity for the year as a running total compared to prior years. And it does this on a daily basis. So January 1st being day one, the second being two, and so forth. And in terms of the total number of trades and dollar volume traded through the year, 2024 looked a lot like 2014. And while that might sound like 2024 was a decade behind or there's some missing 10 years, I think an alternative interpretation is, and probably a better interpretation, is that the US CRE investment environment is in the early stages of recovery. That is kind of a characterization of 2014, and I think it applies to 2024 as well. Through 2024, there were approximately 345 transactions daily across the major property types within the U.S., and this is about 12% below the 25-year historical average. And in terms of daily traded dollar volume, 2024's $811 million was 2% higher than the long-term average. But these simple averages are just that. They're simple. They might be interesting nuggets for the curious mind, but they really don't help explain what's happening under the surface and what's really driving these markets. And as we know that not every property is valued or priced the same, it's important to peel back the layers a bit and explore some of the pricing trends in more detail. And so with that, Cole, what were some of the pricing trends that you picked up on?
Yeah. So before I jump right in, I do want to tell folks that we offer a lot of pricing information in the report itself. I think one of the things that makes it really special is we actually go to the subtype level. And so I'm going to give some high level takeaways, but I did want to share that there's a lot more in the report itself. And so a couple of things that I wanted to call out on a quarterly basis, the average price per square foot for a transacted property actually rose for all sectors except office, which saw a 1.3% decline. This is just a simple moving average. It's not a resale calculation, but the all sectors average, so every transacted property, actually the average increased 0.7% on the quarter. I think the annual figures are a little more interesting here. So this is Q4 2024 versus Q4 2023. So hospitality, industrial, and retail all saw positive increases in average price per square foot, while commercial, general, mixed use, multifamily, and office saw average prices decline. So the largest decline was multifamily, which saw an annual drop of 2.3%. The largest increase was for industrial, which is a pretty staggering 9.4%. The all sectors average was 2.3. So even considering the spread there, some very large increases for industrial. On the subsector level, 9 of the 15 property subsectors saw positive average price growth per square foot in the fourth quarter. On an annual basis, the largest increases were big box retail, up 32.3%, and limited service hotels, up 26.5% on the year. Now, one of the other things, and I mentioned this up at the top, is that we've got some MSA level or market level pricing stats here. Now that we have full year data for 2023 and 2024, what we've added is effectively a table that shows the main four property sectors, industrial, office, retail, multifamily, pricing, the median price per square foot at the market level, at least for the 10 largest markets in the US. And so there's some interesting stuff in here, though I would tell people to view the larger report to dig into some of the individual numbers. But in the Los Angeles MSA, across the main four property sectors, the median transaction price per square foot actually slipped for all sectors except retail, which saw a pretty large 20% jump from 2023 to 2024. Now, of the 10 largest MSAs, median transaction price per square foot increased for all but Los Angeles for multifamily, which saw a 1% decline. Atlanta, on the other hand, saw a 21% year-over-year increase. Now, New York, Chicago, Philly, and Atlanta actually saw increases across all four sectors in median price per square foot of a transacted property. Now, the widest dispersion, though, across these 10 markets was in the retail sector. Median price per square foot decreased 25% year-over-year in Washington, but increased 30% on the year in Philly. So a lot of interesting insights I think we can gain from these, but you're talking about 10 markets, full year stats. I would encourage folks to look at that table. Now, one of the things that I think makes this report so great is we dig really deep into some other property sector specific details. Omar, I think we split these up. Do you want to start with some of the sectors you covered?
Yeah, so I'll start it off with one of the largest sectors, which is industrial. Industrial saw more than 22,000 properties transact through 2024 for a total of $75 billion in dollar volume. In the fourth quarter, about 6,000 properties traded for $22 billion, while the number of trades in 2024 was down about 5.8% compared to the number of trades seen in 2023. The dollar volume transacted and associated with these sales was up 3.2%. If we use the median values of transaction data to get a sense for the typical transactions, we can see a new trend emerging in the industrial space. So the median size of traded industrial properties was pretty consistent from mid-2014 to mid-2022, hovering around between 17,000 to 19,000 square feet. Around the time that the Fed started to hike interest rates, or mid-2022, the median size of traded industrial properties began to fall. And ultimately, it fell to hit a median value of 14,000 to 15,000 square feet in the first quarter of 2024. However, over the last three quarters and through year-end 2024, the median size began climbing again and currently sits around 16,200 square feet. Meanwhile, the average deal size in dollars has only continued to climb, with a median transaction size of $1.6 million in Q4. This is about 20% larger than the median deal size seen over the three-year period before 2024, so years 2021 through 2023. So really a substantial move in terms of the dollar deal size. In terms of pricing within the industrial sector, manufacturing properties saw the largest year-on-year annual appreciation in transacted price per square foot in 2024, increasing 5.3% over 2023 levels, followed by storage, which saw prices increase by still impressive 4.2% over the year. Shifting attention out of industrial and towards hospitality, this is the smallest of the property sectors we track, and the hospitality sector saw 3,300 properties transact through 2024 for a total of nearly $17 billion. In the fourth quarter, 635 properties traded for just shy of $5 billion. This meant that overall hotel transaction activity was right around 2.5% down from 2023 levels for the full year 2024. Again, if we look at median square foot of the properties that did trade over the year and we compare to prior periods, we can see that the size of hotels trading has largely remained consistent over time. Unlike many other property sectors, which have seen more meaningful variation, and many of which have seen this kind of broader trend of smaller properties trading, or what I'd like to think is effectively specialization or more efficient use of space. But the typical hotel that traded in 2024 was about 35,000 square feet. This is 1.5% larger than the typical property size seen between 2021 and 23, and only 3% smaller than the typical property size seen since 2014. That said, the price paid per square foot has risen. But what I think is interesting in the hospitality sector is that it's risen quite unequally across full service versus limited service properties. So in 2024, the average price paid per square foot for limited service hotels increased by more than 16% compared to the dollar per square foot in 2023. While the pricing for full service hotels declined 2.7%. Limited service hotels have really closed the gap and removed the discount that they've seen for a long time to full service properties. They really closed this gap in the first quarter of 2024 and have since been trading at a premium, albeit very slight, to full service through 2024, and that you saw that continue through the end of the year. I'm really curious to see how this plays out, but it really makes sense, at least to me, in terms of the demand drivers and what operators, how they're reacting to that and ultimately repositioning their portfolios and reconfiguring what the programming at these properties. Hopping to the third sector that I'll cover, which is commercial, general, and mixed use. This is a somewhat varied, broad, or an elusive property type, just because it does include a lot. But the commercial, general, and mixed-use sector saw some positive trends in Q4 and for the full year 2024. This is really the second smallest of the sectors we track, but in terms of dollar volume and overall number of properties traded, I do think that there were a number of curious stats that stood out to me. So the commercial, general, and mixed-use sector saw 21.7 thousand properties transact through 2024 for a total of $28 billion. In the fourth quarter, properties traded for $8.2 billion. While the number of trades was down 4.5% over 2023, the total dollar amount transacted increased 5.8% on the year. If you look at the pricing trends within this sector, we did see the price per square foot of mixed-use properties increased by 2.2% over 2023, while pricing for commercial general declined by nearly 13%. So some curious things playing out there. But Cole, I know you took a number of the big sectors. What were some of the things that jumped out to you across multifamily, office, and retail?
Yeah, so I think you left me with some of the big sectors to cover, but I have a few takeaways here based on some of the kind of the typical property that transacted during the quarter. I'll start with multifamily. So annually, the median value of a single transacted property increased 16.4%. But over the same period, the median square footage also increased 6.1%. Now, on a typical day during the fourth quarter, around 121 properties would transact. And just like you mentioned up at the top, when comparing the pacing, where the number of properties tracked pretty closely with 2014, this was exactly the same for, if you zeroed in on multifamily, almost identical levels for 2014 in Q4 2024. Now, in the office sector, so the median value of a property increased 19.8%, or at least for a transaction. But over the same period, the size of a single transacted property decreased 4.4%. And similarly, around 70 office properties transacted on a given day during the quarter, but that is actually far below the pre-COVID level of around 80 that you would see in the mid-2010s. Switching to retail, and this is a super interesting sector because we're able to break out into a lot of different subtypes, but the median value of a single transaction increased 10.2%, while the median square footage decreased just ever so slightly, 1.1%. So a lot of interesting takeaways there, but I think the pricing metrics are super interesting. So I would encourage folks to see those in the report. But Omar, we've got a lot of other information that is in there. You want to tell us your big takeaway from what you saw in this quarter's data?
Yeah, so we've seen through our other work, notably the industry conditions and sentiment survey, that transaction intentions were really elevated through much of 2024. However, the volume and activity stats that we capture in this report really show just how challenging it is for firms to fulfill those intentions in a high-rate environment. However, these recent numbers give me hope yet for 2025. While looking at the levels of market activity is still a bit depressing, with 2024 being very similar in terms of pacing with 2014, the rates of change are much more, I would say, encouraging and insightful. So I think my key takeaway from this report is that the CRE investment and transaction market is in the early stages of a recovery. And with the direction for that recovery is set. However, the speed of the recovery is likely going to be dependent on the financing environment. I also think that the significant markdowns in terms of CRE values that we've seen really since late 2022 and continuing through 23 and 24, coupled with the still relatively strong fundamentals that we've seen in terms of cash flows across property sectors, means that U.S. CRE as an asset class looks like it may become relatively more attractive compared to other asset classes, particularly if there's an expectation that interest rates will eventually come down. So the stability we've seen, I think that's starting to play out and is likely a key driver in much of this upward trend. That was a takeaway that kind of brought in other pieces of the report, but What was one of your biggest takeaways from this data?
I'll give my big takeaway by rehashing one that you just gave. And that's that I think if you're looking at dollar value or dollar volume, you've already begun to see annual increases in activity. And on a four-quarter trailing basis, it looks like we're nearly flat. And the trend is pretty evident that at some point in the next few quarters, we could turn positive. But it is interesting that the number of properties transacting is slipping while the median size of transacted structures is slipping. So that tells me that with a lot of these price increases, a lot of the volume increases are due to just higher value properties trading. So what I'm super curious to see is what happens to these numbers once the physically large buildings start transacting again. Are these going to be accompanied with value declines? Are these going to change the slope of the recovery? I think there's a lot of questions left here, because if you were just to look at some of the median sizes of the transacted structures, it's you know, 10, 20, 30, 40,000 square feet. We know there are some that are much larger than that have yet to transact in the last year or so. So I'm looking to see what happens when some of those actually do transact. So those are kind of my big takeaways. What was your biggest surprise from the report?
Yeah, I hate to repeat it all, but I would say the size characteristics jumped out to me. And I think the fact that you have office, and I think the typical size metrics for the transacted properties is very much showing and reflective of kind of like some of the sentiment that we've heard and seen in other data. So particularly noting, if you look at the only consistently downward trending property type would be office in terms of this typical size and square footage that does get traded. Meanwhile, the two property types that have been reversing a recent downward trend are multifamily and industrial. And then you have your pretty steady sectors in terms of property size being hospitality and retail. Granted, retail has done a bit of a level shift down in terms of property size of those properties that are transacted. And I don't know if it's coincidental, but these happen to broadly capture the investor preference for these sectors, where multifamily and industrial have remained preferred sectors. Hospitality and retail have been, I would say, liked, but still cautiously loved. And then office being the odd one out of the big five. But also convergence within the full service and limited service subsectors within hospitality. I think that's very notable. And I'm curious to see how the consumer facing sectors, or the sectors that are most exposed to consumer spending, including hospitality and retail, how those subsectors really shift over the coming year. What was something that was a surprise to you?
I did want to piggyback off one thing you said, and I think it's interesting that hospitality and retail have seen a lot of positive pricing movement, in particular because there's been very little construction in either sector over the last 15 or so years. But there were a lot of positive pricing trends for industrial too, which are happening in spite of a lot of new supply coming online. So thought that was interesting. But one of the big surprises to me in the report, and this is another data point that I think makes this unique to other similar reports, is that we've been able to break out the volume statistics by the top 100 MSAs in the U.S. And when you look at the maps that are within the report, you'll see that there's a lot of regional variation that is becoming apparent. If you take a look at the change in the number of properties transacted during the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter, increases in the Southeast and the Mid-Atlantic, but large decreases in the Northeast, Midwest, and in Southern California, at least relative to the national change. This seems to match fairly well with the single family residential market. So I thought that was certainly interesting. Now, on an annual basis, you see something else, and that is that there are increases on the coasts, but declines in much of the center of the country. And you should see that for both the count and the dollar volume transacted. I did want to make one very specific call out to, there were massive increases across all metrics. So the number and dollar transacted on a difference on a quarterly and annual basis across Northern California MSAs. And I think you can attribute some of this to value capitulation now that those markets are actually finally thawing. You've seen increases relative to the national figures of 20, 30, 40% in this fourth quarter alone, when in the past years, had you looked at this, you'd see sustained declines. So I thought that was really interesting. Maybe we'll dig in more to the California market at some point. But a lot of other takeaways that we could cover. But Omar, do you want to tell people how to view the full report?
Absolutely. So the easiest way is you can find a link in the show notes, and that will take you to our website, or you can simply go to the Altus website and find the investment and transactions quarterly report there.
Awesome. Omar, I think that's all the time we've got today. But before we sign off, I want to encourage our listeners that if you like the show, we would love if you could rate it Give us 5 stars on your preferred platform, Apple, Spotify. Leave us comments there as well. We will read them. Or feel free to just send us an email at altusresearch@altusgroup.com. We'd love to know what topics you'd like covered on the program. In the meantime, Omar, it's been a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you on another episode of CRE Exchange. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the CRE Exchange podcast, powered by Altus Group. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Altus Group, a global leader in asset and fund intelligence for commercial real estate. At Altus, we bring together capabilities across technology, analytics, valuations, tax, and development advisory services. We are guided by bold thinking, integrity, and inclusivity, partnering with CRE professionals to maximize opportunities with exceptional service experience. Find out more at altusgroup.com.